Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Ball Not Court podcast host Cortez Paul, along with my co-host Kevin Carter. I want to thank you folks for tuning in today and listening to the show. Basically, we cover basketball, football, NCAA, or anything that's related to current events with a humorous twist to it, at least. You can follow the podcast at BIOC Podcast at X or Twitter. We're also on Instagram at the same name, BIOC Podcast. You can go to our YouTube channel. That's also BIOC Podcast. Our Facebook page is Balls Not Court Podcast. So if you could please just give us a like, shout, comment on any of those, and definitely subscribe to our YouTube channel. And we thank you for listening and enjoy the show. Balls Not Court Podcast. Thank you very much. Welcome to the Ball Not Court podcast. Cortez Paul is here. We got a whole panel with me tonight. This should be fun. Mr. Paul.
What
Mr. Paul Mack.
Somebody's Paul turkey, Mack. Son.
Mr. Paul Mack is joining me.
Apparently someone get Kevin. The ham out of the oven. The ham is out of the oven.
And that is Kevin Carter. I got Tom Childs and Brad Renner. Let's start with Paul. How you doing tonight, sir?
Doing all right, man. I didn't realize we're going to have a whole starting five in here. We should have had some old school like 90s intros like the Chicago Bulls for this one, but be all right.
Hey, don't mess with me now. I can edit that in now.
Yeah, I was going to say.
We all call customers. You come. What the hell is going on? First the ham comes up and then somebody's running a commercial during the show. What is going on?
We getting paid for that commercial there, Tom?
What is going on?
Finally,
and then there's a fire extinguisher.
I got it on. Perfect.
Awesome. Tom, how you doing tonight, sir?
I'm doing great, man. I'm just doing a little bit of cable work, a little bit of fire extinguisher work, as Kevin would say. I'm here with you guys, so I'm doing great.
Good, man. KC, welcome back, sir. How you doing tonight, Mr. Carter?
I am doing outstanding. I just want some of who's ever ham is done now.
The bell's going off. Good stuff. Good stuff. Mr. Brad, how you doing tonight, sir?
I'm fantastic. This segment is sponsored by Energizer.
Yeah, because that beeping keeps going and going and going and going and going. Oh.
Paul, you ready for this mess of a show?
I mean, disclaimer, which you should already know, we are far from professionals. So
exactly, we're just
down, buckle up, and here we go.
Enjoy the ride, man. Enjoy the ride.
Speak for yourself.
All right, guys, let's get into it. So we're gonna talk about NFL football playoff is going up on a Tuesday. It's been fantastic watching some of this playoff football here.
And or really fucking boring watching some of them.
So before we start diving into the conference championship round, we're going to key in on a few games that happened and some of the drama that got through it. So Buffalo lost again to the Chiefs. What more can you do, Paul? What are your thoughts about Buffalo? Once again, cannot get over the hump. What's your thoughts about that game, sir?
Buffalo stinks. that's all it is. Patrick Mahomes is their daddy. The ghost of Scott Norwood lives on in Buffalo. It's you know, Giants people know it all too well. But you know, if anyone had a chance of dethroning the Kansas City Chiefs, it was this year's Buffalo Bills. They were hot at the right time. They were doing all the things they had to do. And Kansas City, as much as we talk about them not, you know, not having an explosive offense, they still go and put up, you know, 27 points, and that's enough to win a game against the Buffalo Bills, which is crazy because, I mean, Mahomes only threw for 215, but he didn't turn the ball over. So that's kind of the key right there. And then Isaiah Pacheco runs like a little kid trying on new shoes. You know, he's out there just stomping down the field for 97 yards and a touchdown. Kelce goes off for 75 yards, 2 touchdowns. So all the things for Buffalo click, and I know a guy that you chime in every week about, L'Jarius Sneed. You know, he does business out there, man. He stands on business, as the kids say. And you know, he helped Stephon Diggs. Josh Allen did all he absolutely could. Guy ran for 72 yards, 2 touchdowns, only threw for 186, but he had 3 combined touchdowns. You know, it comes down to a field goal sometimes. And you know, Bass's ass, I guess.
Brad, let me go to you, man. Was this more about Buffalo or is this more about Kansas City?
Well, I mean, for Josh Allen to win a Super Bowl, he needs to start looking at maybe going to the NFC. Because there's too many good quarterbacks in the AFC. Too many better coach teams. But pretty much like, you know, Paul was saying, you know, Kansas City owns them. So, I think if you go back to that fourth quarter, that last drive, he had Diggs wide open for like a 7-yard in route on second down. Well, if he takes that, you know, Diggs either gets, you know, maybe 7-9 or a first down, that drive keeps going. And instead, he takes that deep shot to the end zone. And then the ghost of Scott Norwood comes back. Wide right.
Yeah.
For everybody listening, Scott Norwood is not dead. Okay.
He's not dead.
He's alive.
There's wide right, and then there's where the fuck were you kicking it right? And he kicked, where the fuck are you kicking it right? It wasn't even wide right. That was like fucking Yokozuna wide right. That shit just went. That shit made an immediate right hand. It looked like, you know what it looked like? It looked like one of my shitty ass golf drives. It took an immediate right hand turn and went into the fucking woods. That's what that did.
But, I don't know. That old Chicago Bears game, I forget who they were playing when it was a 60-mile-an-hour wind gust.
Oh, yeah. That shit went crazy, too, where it just immediate takes a right-hand turn. But it looked like one of my golf shots.
It wasn't as bad as that one, but it's going to be up there. I think they'd rather have the double doink than that kick.
Oh, yeah. But to put it all on Bass, though, nah, man. You had 3 drops. You had 3 drops. It hit guys right in the hands that could have been game-changing plays, and Josh Allen put that shit right on the money, and you dropped them. Just flat out dropped them bitches. So to put it all on Bass's ass that he missed, you got one job, you should have done it, but them receivers got one job, and they couldn't do it, and he put the ball where it was supposed to go. So it was just – but the bad part for the Bills is this was the year – everybody has everything lined up to beat Kansas City. Now you have to go out and doing it. You got them away from Kansas City. You got them having to play road games to get into it. But somehow, some way, Kansas City keeps winning. An old wrestler used to say, to beat a man, you've got to beat the man. And Buffalo can't beat the man because the man is still going.
Tom, your thoughts?
Well, obviously, just Isaiah Pacheco went crazy at 97 yards, rushing touchdown. Patty, he didn't, you know, throw that many. I think Josh Allen, what they said, like 190, 186 yards. Patrick Mahomes had 215. You know what I mean? So they didn't pass like crazy, but it's two passing TDs. And like I said, that run game of Isaiah Pacheco kind of sealed that damn deal, man. And then that wide open play to Travis Kelce, like he was in the end zone wide open, dog. I couldn't believe it. I said the biggest man, probably the biggest target on the field, and y'all miss him in the back of the end zone? He was up there singing with Taylor Swift. I was like, this is crazy. So they just made a lot of stupid plays. And I think you asked it to Paul earlier. Was it more of a – or I think you asked it somebody. But, man, it was all about KC, man. Like, everybody has to beat them. They didn't play as well in the season, but they're used to this playoff thing. Six times in a row? I mean, like, they're used to this. Like, those guys could very well win that Super Bowl. You know what I mean? Like, they're coming up against a tough game this weekend, but – can't bet against, man. You can't bet against Kansas City. I'm not just going to say Patrick Mahomes, but Kansas City as a whole, man. They put it together.
Yeah, so they didn't even sack Pat Mahomes, the Bills.
No.
The defense did not sack Pat Mahomes at all. You got to put pressure on him. And as we mentioned last week, Pat Mahomes is the best quarterback scrambling to a go first down. And that's what he does, man. So. Good breakdown, guys. Let's go into another game right quick. I just want to highlight the Green Bay and the 49ers game. That game was close. It was inclement weather with the rain. Kev, what's your thoughts about that game and how close that was and Brock Purdy and Deebo Samuel going down? Like, how much of an impact did Deebo Samuel going down make on that game?
Deebo Samuel going down made a huge impact because you saw early on in the game they were able to do what they wanted to do back at him. But when Deebo went down, you could see the shift in it. And brought it upon and that game. But you can tell with the comfort levels and everything those guys they have with Deebo, just letting him control that first part of the game. Yeah, him going down is a big loss, especially going into this week's game coming.
Gotcha. All right, Tom, let me go to you, man. What you thought about Brock Purdy's performance that game? I know there's a lot of rain, and that he couldn't grip the ball and a lot of issues with the grip, but what's your thoughts about how he performed in that game against the Packers?
Well, he did. He did decent. He was kind of comparable as far as attempts with Jordan Love. He had a little more yards, one less touchdown, but he didn't throw any interceptions. Also, you know, I think Brock Purdy's a good quarterback. Like, the hoopla behind him is, I think it's still going on, but he's showing up. You know what I mean? He's proven me wrong. Of course, he got all the weapons, as we talked about many times in the podcast. Christian McCaffrey, two touchdowns. George Kittle, one touchdown. You know what I mean? So the boys balled out, and they were putting up yards, man. Brock Purdy had 252 yards. And, you know, even in the rain, he was still pretty accurate. You know what I mean? So I can't say pretty accurate because he's 23-39, but he played decent, though.
Okay. Brad, let me go to you. What's your thought about Jordan Love's performance and what he has done in the playoffs? What do you think about Jordan Love overall and how to get to where he has got to in their future?
He looks like he's going to be a great quarterback. This is his, first real year taking over the reins from Aaron Rodgers?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how many teams wouldn't take a quarterback's first year taking them that deep into the playoffs, picking up some good hard wins on the road in the playoffs. I know Thomas loves
Lord,
that.
Somebody that had playoff. To laugh that hard. Oh my God, damn it.
Just taking them that deep hard. Keep going. I'm sorry, buddy.
Y'all got people are now taking my spot to where I usually laugh at shit and go, God damn it.
But yeah, Jordan Love, look, his little Kobe Bryant fadeaway pass. I don't know how he does it. You look at most athletes, when they leave their feet or take all that momentum off their base and throw that far and that accurate, but they're going to be good. They're going to be relevant for the next 5-6 years.
Gotcha. Mr. Mack, what's your thought about the game overall and the 49ers in a dogfight with the Green Bay Packers? Is that more of a statement?
Green Bay Packers. Green Bay did everything they needed to do to win this game, except for Jordan Love's 2 interceptions, which is a shame because they were out playing the Niners up until that fourth quarter. They get skunked 10-0 in the fourth quarter. You know, that's unfortunate. You know, Debo going down is going to be huge. See how hurt he is going forward. But, I mean, Aaron Jones, I'd be interested to see a full season of Aaron Jones and Jordan Love together because I know he was out most of the season. So, I mean, the Green Bay Packers have a lot to look forward to. Jordan Love looks incredibly poised for a guy who making his first playoff run. I mean, we knew how good the Niners defense was. But all that considered, you know, they make a lot of quarterbacks look silly. So, you know, you can't really get on Jordan Love about that. No one thought the Packers would really be here either way. And the fact that they were in a slugfest with potentially the NFC, you know, Super Bowl contender. You know, it's a lot to hang your hat on because they played well. I mean, they had the lead most of the game, but just, you know, the better team won. The team who didn't make any mistakes won, and you know what else are you going to do?
Absolutely. All right, good stuff, guys. Before we start breaking down the conference championship round, I want to give Paul Mack the floor for this guy's stinks segment. Where's his stink mayor's line at now? So, Mr. Mack,
didn't they play two other freaking football games? I'm going out on a limb. Didn't other teams play besides just them four?
We did, but we got five people on the panel, so we got to keep pushing.
It don't matter. It don't matter how many people you have on the panel. The other games were good too, except for the one. That one sucked. But yeah. You can talk about this. You don't have to talk about this shitty game, but I'm amazed you didn't bring up Detroit, for God's sake.
We're going to get into Detroit here in a minute. So
as much as you love Detroit, I'm amazed you haven't had them all up on your place. Oh, absolutely. Sorry.
Nah, I'm going to show them some. I'm going to show them some love. So
I bet you are.
Yeah, no doubt. Paul, go ahead and take over this guy's states.
Oh man, I know football is on the brain, but we only have a couple more weeks left, and then this basically becomes an NBA podcast. So I've been doing a little research. I've been digging into some stats, and you know I love stats.
Oh God,
we all know how much I love stats. And there's one guy in particular. We've mentioned him before on this podcast, and he's a guy that I've made a lot of money on in parlays, picking him under.
Dwight Howard?
No.
Oh,
I don't think
Dwight Howard has been. Dwight Howard has been under a lot lately. So
I don't know, man. He's more. Yeah. I don't know. I think he's more of a top guy. But
I don't know.
I thought he's over.
I don't know if you heard him talking a lot. He seems like a bottom guy right now.
Yeah, that's all right. Anyway,
that's a huge bottom.
That's what she said.
That's called a power bottom. But anyway,
I'll proceed.
Anyway,
Lord.
Anyways, what am I?
Much like Dwight Howard, this podcast goes south really, really fast.
Anywho. One of my favorite NBA stats isn't, you know, how many points a guy can score. It's not assists. It's not any of that stuff. One of my favorite NBA stats that always fascinates me is the old plus minus.
Yeah.
I love a good plus minus stat about how good a team is when a certain guy's on the floor.
Oh, Lord.
And I just want to shout out that the Detroit Pistons are the worst team in the NBA.
They fucking suck.
I know this is the that guy stinks segment. Okay, let me get there. Let me build. Wait, I'm painting a picture here. Okay.
You just said Detroit Pistons. That whole team sucks.
I know. I'm getting somewhere. All right. Anyway, the Detroit Pistons, worst team in the NBA. They have a couple of guys on their team. One young guy by the name of Jaden Ivey. Pretty good player. He has a plus minus of negative 185. They have another young player who at times looks pretty good. I think the Pistons just have a hard time because none of these guys play well together. I don't know what the deal is. They got some talented guys. But there's a guy by the name of Jalen Duren, plus minus negative 162.
Oh, man.
Then they have another young man, Cade Cunningham. He's been injured a lot this season. He's supposed to come back soon, whatever. But I don't know why they're in a hurry to get him back. His plus minus is negative 270. So imagine those three guys on the floor together losing a lot of games. But there's one man, my favorite, that takes the cake. He plays for the Washington Wizards. And this man was once punched in the face so hard by Draymond Green that he must have clearly forgotten how to play basketball. Young man Jordan Poole.
Oh, Jordan Poole.
has the league's lowest plus minus at negative 363.
Jesus Christ.
That's so bad. To make it worse,
when paired with Kyle Kuzma, he is a negative 361.
Jesus Christ, Winnie.
So when those two guys are on the floor together, they're about a negative 360.
Oh,
Jesus Christ.
The fact that the Washington Wizards aren't the worst team in the NBA is absolutely fascinating. And the fact that your starting point guard has a plus minus of negative 363, and this is a guy that you signed in the offseason for whatever reason. I don't know what your mindset was. I don't know what you were doing. I don't know what you think his worth is. But your starting power forward, your starting point guard are literally negative 360. You're not going to win a lot of basketball games with a plus minus like that. And I think they lost again today as well. So they're doing great. Jordan Poole, I hit on the under on a Jordan Poole parlay. So got to love it. But I just wanted
Pistons,
to say
the Pistons,
that.
The Pistons won today, though.
Yeah, Pistons won today. And the Pistons also beat the Pistons also beat the Wizards like a week ago.
Yeah. See, there you go. So Washington's on their way.
So, you know. But again, the Pistons are 5-39. So
that's okay. That's okay. There is literally an insurrection every night the Wizards hit the court with Jordan Poole and Kyle Kuzma.
So Brad, because I'm trying to, while he's breaking this down, you know what a plus and minus that is in basketball. You kind of understand that a little bit?
A little bit.
So basically is the lineup that's on the floor versus, points that scored is accumulated versus the team that you're playing against.
How much negative. Accumulate
versus that time?
Yeah. Negative is bad, okay?
Negative 363. That means he's been outscored 363 points.
So basically,
in layman's terms, it means he fucking sucks.
He's a basically big pool of shit.
Telling me that all five of us legitimately have a shot at an NBA contract.
No, because if the Magic were to sign that guy that was on Twitter the other day, he'd be a negative 435 because somebody put they were going to sign a sharpshooter. I've seen that guy play. He's not a sharpshooter.
Listen, so I could ride the bench. I'd be a good town boy.
Plus minus will be zero. You'll be all right.
Yeah.
I want to be.
Right. I'm already better than five NBA players.
I want the Udonis Haslam contract where I just sit at the end of the bench. And exactly.
You want a towel? You want Gatorade? Anyway, here you go.
In honor of Jordan Poole and Kyle Kuzma with their negative 363 plus minus to the Washington Wizards who lost again today, all I have to say is
suck. Oh my God.
And to just Jordan Poole as a person.
Oh, brother. That's
nice. That's all I got.
Oh, man. Switch it up.
You know what they should do? You know what they should do to Jordan Poole is torture? Make him listen to that damn beeping noise coming from that freaking fire alarm.
You don't even know it's there.
Yes, I do.
You had to be questioning my sanity there for a minute.
Kevin's funny. He's always the king of background noise, and he has to complain about background noise. That's pretty funny.
Oh, shut up.
We don't even have a fire alarm in this room.
Oh, damn, man.
Well, here's my fire alarm. If I smell fucking smoke, I'm leaving. There we go.
All right, good segue. Thanks for that, Paul. We're going to transition into talking about the conference championships. And we're going to go first with the NFC, the Lions versus the 49ers. Kevin, you ain't been on the show in a while, so I'm going to ask you first, man. What's your top storyline coming out of this game with the Lions and the 49ers?
The top storyline is the Lions haven't been here since the combined age of us on this panel. That's the top story is the Lions making it back to this spot finally in God knows how long, and that 80-year-old guy that's had season tickets for 72 years. Oh, my God, that beeping noise. But, I'm no, do not text me. No goddamn beeping noise. Things that bother me really much. People that let their kids just cry and completely ignore them. Fire extinguisher beepings.
It's not going to put a fire out. It's just going to let you know there's a fire around.
It should put a fire out with how much beeping it has. It should all the fucking oxygen from it.
I'm gonna reel this back in. Tom, what's the storyline to this game? What's one of your favorite storylines to this game?
I think this is as far as the Lions get. I want to see them win, but you know they were almost a possession away from losing to the Buccaneers, even though they whooped our ass. But I thought the Lions were going to handle this a little better. They stuck with them the whole way. I'm looking at the stat board. It's 3-7-7, and then they scored another touchdown, one more touchdown, more than the Buccaneers did the whole game. So they were neck and neck. You know what I mean? But you gotta pull away from these dudes early, man. You know what I mean? Like a 10-9 team against a 14-5 team that haven't been there. I would have thought they would. Well, they won, so I can't really. I'm not downing them, but I would have just thought they would have kind of like ran right through them, man. So I think the 49ers got the upper edge on this team, bro.
You just didn't get the Buffs respect that deserved, bro. We told you that the Buffs are a decent team, bro.
We told you about Mike Evans, bro. We told you about Mike Evans.
Mike Evans killed them, bro. We told you about this.
They played a shitty Eagles team, bro.
Tampa Bay has better weapons than the Eagles do.
Yeah, now they do.
No, they
all of our guys hurt.
They've had better weapons than the Eagles do. It's just people don't give Tampa Bay the credit. No one has ever gave Mike Evans the credit that he deserves. 10 freaking years with 1,000 yards. Just
Mike
because
Evans
he plays
is the
in
only
Tampa.
Better weapon on that team than anybody in the goddamn Eagles starting offense.
I'd take Chris Godwin over a couple of people, too.
Yeah, but not over AJ or Devontae.
I don't know. Chris Godwin in his best year was better than those guys in their best year.
Not AJ.
Yeah, he was. Chris Godwin had 1,300 yards.
We're going to look at that.
Chris Godwin had 1,300 yards.
But I digress.
Before he got injured.
What's your storyline coming out of this game?
Me?
Yes, sir. I think you're the only person named Brad on here.
I didn't hear you. There was a beep when you said Brad. I got confused.
Oh my bad. Yeah, Brad. Yeah, Brad. So what's your thought about your storylines on this game?
I think it's going to be Debo. But Debo adds a lot of different schemes they can run. And I think they rely on Debo a lot for the motion and just the options they have when he's on the field versus CMC and Kittle. And if it's going to rain. Because we know Brock Purdy already doesn't like throwing the ball in the rain.
Paul, Matt, you got a storyline for the Lions and the 49ers?
I mean, the Niners, this is where we thought they'd be. The Detroit Lions, obviously, are kind of the Cinderella story. They struggle with outside wide receivers. They have the worst defense in the league against outside receivers. And another alarming thing is we saw what Tampa's tight end was doing to him. Mm-hmm. So George Kittle should have a huge game against the Detroit Lions. Jahmyr Gibbs and Montgomery, that tandem should be able to run the ball a little bit at seeing what Aaron Jones did. It'll be interesting. I think it's going to be a closer game than we're probably thinking it's going to be. I think this might come down to similar to, you know, the Green Bay game where they could potentially be down and come back. But I can see this being like a field goal game. I think the Lions can keep it close. I'm enjoying CJ Gardner-Johnson on Twitter right now going after people. That guy's going after everybody right now. Taking shots at Baker. He's taking shots at everybody.
But like this time of year, every football game, it always seems whoever has the ball last has the best chance to win.
Unless you've been Baltimore and you've just been steamrolling people. But Debo Samuel, you know, that injury is huge for the Niners. But again, he's not really one of their outside. He's not really an outside threat. You'll see more of like Brandon Ayuk out there kind of eating on the outside. And they'll do a lot of the trick stuff with Debo to get him in the backfield. They'll put him in motion, give him the ball wherever they can. But I expect a huge game out of George Kittle. And this is one of those kind of make it or break it games for Jared Goff. You can see what Jared Goff really has against a really, really, mature prime defense. And then also too, just, you know, the coaches, right? I mean, this is Dan Campbell's. This is his Super Bowl. No one thought he was going to get here. They've had a chip on their shoulder all season long, mm-hmm. and they just keep on rolling, keep on going. And we know how that man is with adversity and being the underdog. And this is one of those games where he's back to being that underdog. So you have to kind of, you know, keep that in mind. He might try to do some wild shenanigans. Who knows? Would that be going for two when you're only down a touchdown like Tampa Bay did, which that whole play call was super weird. I don't know what that whole thing was about, but whatever. And I'm not making a difference for the Buccaneers, but I'm assuming Raheem Morris probably had the Bucs covering the 10 points, so he didn't want to jeopardize that. But yeah, man, I'm excited for this one. Should be a good one. I mean, all signs point to Brock Purdy having a game. The weather should be nice in San Francisco. They don't got to worry about much, hopefully. It's gonna be a tough climb for the Lions, but we know they're gonna fight.
But if it comes down to a team, which team do you think is built more for that?
Oh, the Niners for sure. The Niners are built. They're built to come from behind. They're built to play with a lead. They're built for this stretch of the season. They're very well coached, fantastic defense, explosive offense.
Now, I know Thomas ain't going to like this, but I feel like if Purdy doesn't blow his UCL in the first couple plays last year, we're watching 49ers Kansas City last year, just like we're probably going to watch this year.
I said that last year.
Well, he didn't just blow. We broke it for him, so.
Well, yeah, you blow a ligament. You can't break a ligament.
Well, you broke it, smacked it, whatever we did, but we sacked the shit out of him, so.
I don't know, but I wish you would do that to that freaking fire alarm.
You haven't even heard it. I've been on mute. Look at that. It's in your head now.
No, literally, as soon as you came back on,
it beeped.
No, I just took it down. Look at that.
It went.
Yeah, it's living in your head rent free. No, I just took it down.
Wait for it.
So let's not talk about the fire alarm and let's stop doing
that. Here we go. Okay, here we go.
Thank you.
Here we go. All right, so here we go. Go ahead. The biggest key things to either one of these teams, and I've noticed it throughout the playoffs, whoever offensive line is playing the best on that, there it went, on any given Sunday, is the team that has won the damn football games. Just look at last week. Freaking Kansas City's offensive line shows up, shows out, they win the game. Detroit's offensive line shows up, shows out, they win the game.
Yeah.
Same with San Francisco. Same with San Francisco. Even though there was all that muck and all that shit, their offensive line comes, shows out. They're pulling freaking Trent Williams. Everybody, they played well. They played good. They won the game. Detroit, same thing. Offensive lines right now are carrying the teams in this playoffs.
Well, they're getting the running game.
They're getting the running games going. They're keeping people. They're keeping people clean. Guys are not getting sacked. Guys are not turning the ball over. These offensive lines are playing at a very high level. We always give the credit to everybody else, but somebody needs to give the credit to these offensive lines, because I've been watching it. Nobody's getting pushed back. They're pushing forwards. We give these defensive lines like San Fran's and Detroit's, and we give these defensive lines all this stuff. But they're getting blanked by some of these guys because these offensive lines aren't no joke right now.
No, one thing I have noticed the last couple of 49ers games, one big thing that I'm going to keep my eye out
for
is Trent Williams going to get some stupid penalty called on him late in the game that almost cost him the game?
Trent Williams almost beat that dude's ass that one game.
Yeah. But he almost cost him. If it wasn't for Brock Purdy making a couple key throws there at the end, he put him back 15 yards when they had good starting field position.
Yeah, for sure. Let me add on the strategy here that I think look at too, and I want y'all to talk on this. So the 49ers, yards per carry, they allow 4.1, which is sixth best. You got Montgomery and Gibbs coming in, one of the best running back tandems. Tom, break down that possible matchup between those two teams against their rushing attack, against the 49er rush defense. So what's your thoughts about that? A team that allows 4.1 yards per carry against this wonderful tandem of Montgomery and Gibbs.
That's gonna be big, man, because they're not going to get tired. You know what I mean? Because once one gets tired, you put the other one in. It's simple. If they can get that run game going, like we've been saying, and it's just everybody knows it. But if they can fix those little issues before they get into this game, they'll be able to shut that run game down. Now you force him to pass, which, you know what I mean, he does have a couple, you know, weapons, but I don't think they're going to be able to slow that run down, man. When you have a two-headed monster like that, and them boys is running downhill, it's going to be hard to stop, man.
And they just signed a new weapon today.
Tell them, Brian, who they signed.
They signed Ertz.
Zach Ertz.
Yes, they did. Tight end.
He's got a little bit of miles on him, but he's still going to be able to produce, I'm pretty sure.
I think a lot of that was due to LaPorta with his knee, trying to take a little bit of the wear and tear. But Ertz has always been reliable. He's reliable. He might not put up big yards, but he's reliable for the times the ball's thrown at him.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
And that's what you need right now. If the ball's thrown to you, just catch
it. Ertz was the Eagles' best weapon in their freaking Super Bowl run. He was their best weapon. Like, because they had no
– reliable.
They literally had nobody else except Ertz and the other tight end.
Reliable. Yeah. And it was Dallas It was Dallas Goedert.
Yeah, Dallas Goedert and Ertz. And then you had stone hands on the outside, so they wasn't definitely throwing it to them. So that was the flukiest Super Bowl winning team I've seen.
So, such a hater.
Tell me it's not a fluke.
Mr. Matt.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, Cortez.
Mr. Matt, we're gonna switch gears here. Mr. Matt, hey, let me get to your point back on the Lions here. Lions passing defense is 7.8 yards attempt. That's the second worst team in the league. That's if Brock Purdy had a bad game last week, this is a team that can get passed on. What's your thoughts about Brock Purdy going against this pass defense of the Lions?
Yeah, the way the Niners play, this is a nightmare matchup for Detroit. Like I said, they give up that many, you know, yards per catch, but I'm pretty sure they have the worst defense against outside wide receivers. So, you know, the Brandon Ayuks and, you know, the George Kittles going down the seam up the middle, those big chunk plays. I mean, you saw what Romeo Doubs did for the Packers last week. Mm-hmm. I mean, you put a Brandon Ayuk in that situation or George Kittle, it's gonna be bad, because there was points in the game against Tampa where the tight end was just eaten. Just one play. There's about a stretch on one of those final drives for Tampa Bay where that tight end had about three or four catches straight, just 10 yards, 15 yards, 20 yards, and dude was just eating, getting wide open. And if you do that to George Kittle, that's easily, you know, a couple touchdowns. So, you know, it's not a good matchup. The only matchup that really favors the Lions is the rushing game, is the fact that they should be able to run the ball on the Niners defense. But yeah, if it gets into a throwing matchup and those guys start putting pressure on Jared Goff, it's gonna be a tough one for Detroit. So they gotta do like we say every week, they gotta try to do what they can and run the ball, you know, take what's available, get it to LaPorta, you know, convert third and shorts, and just, you know, try to win the possession battle. Green Bay actually won time of possession last week, but they just had two turnovers. So don't turn the ball over. Control time of possession. You can do that if you can run the ball. If you can get, you know, Gibbs and Montgomery combined, get them over 100, get them, you know, 130, 140, something like that, for the two of them. You know, you put yourself in a good situation. So we'll have to wait and see.
Well, it's crazy that you mentioned that, because me, you, and Tom talked about this last week about how Goff is worse against the blitz, and he's also – he had the third highest – like blitz rate against him. He had 6 interceptions versus the blitz, second most. But he's also had 13 touchdowns, which is third most against the blitz. So it's really one of those kind of open worms kind of deal. Brad, what you see in Jared Goff and what he needs to do against this defense and possibly, you know, match up against Nick Bosa and Chase Young and Warner and all these guys that's talented on that defense side of the ball. What you see in Goff, what he needs to really lean on here?
I just think he needs to make his decision quick, get through his progressions quick. The longer he holds the ball, the more danger he's going to be in. Because he got Chase Young, he got Nick Bosa, he got Greenlaw, Warner. I mean, they got quarterbacks and safeties they like to throw in the mix too. Mm-hmm. I mean, they got to call the right play, and he's got to get the right read and get rid of it quick, or it's going to be a long night looking up at that San Francisco sky.
Gotcha, for sure. Okay, let me go to you. Who's your S factor for the 49ers?
For the 49ers? It's got to be on the defensive side of the ball, because the offense, they there's really no X factor. They're all pretty damn good. But on the defensive side of all, I think it's Greenlaw. Like, just the impact he had on the game the other weekend, or last weekend, with the interception and the way he's been playing. He's their X factor, because the way he goes, he's been playing very well on the defensive side of the ball. Like, on offense, though, they all X factors. One week it's going to be one guy, one week it's going to be the next guy, one week it's this guy. So, yeah, you can't really go with the offensive side, but I'll go with the defensive side of the ball. I'll go with Greenlaw.
Kevin, isn't it crazy how they do it by committee on offense with the 49ers?
It's like, remember when the Heat had all three of their guys? Like, one game it's you, one game it's you, one game it's you. Then out of nowhere, you have, like, some guy that no one heard of. He has one good game, but then they go right back to their stars. That's what San Francisco does. San Francisco's like, okay, this week they suck against this, we're going to go to Kittle. This week they suck against this, we're going to give it to CMC, let him go nuts. Debo, we're just going to let you do whatever this week here. You're healthy, we're going to give you the ball all over the place. One week, they're bad against outside receivers. Ayuk, go nuts. And they just, it's just, they know what they're doing. their coach has a good feel of what they can get away with on offense against the other team's defense. He's had a very good feel for it here lately. So it's just, it fucking sucks having to play San Francisco, especially when everyone in the motherfuckers is healthy. Because you're like, God damn it, I don't want no more Rice-A-Roni. I don't need no more San Francisco treats. These motherfuckers are all over the place. I don't need no more of this shit. I don't want to play them. They make you go, okay, that's enough. I don't want to play no more.
And they're all selfless. It's like they don't care.
Yeah, they don't give a shit.
Are at the end of the day, all they want to win is about. Yeah, exactly.
They want to win. Except Christian McCaffrey. Christian McCaffrey's like, look, motherfuckers, y'all give me a touchdown in every goddamn game. I don't care how. I'm getting a touchdown in every damn game.
Oh, CMC will find a way to get in the end zone.
Yeah, that motherfucker's like, oh, we're 60 yards away. I'm gone. I'm gonna get there. But it's just they it's just they're the worst team right now to have to plan for. Like, cause you can't and it's not even off scripted stuff. This is all on script. You just don't know where it's going to come from. Like it's insane. Like there's very few teams that have had the problem where you don't know where it's coming from. Like usually you can pick and choose. You know, okay, we're going here, we're going here, we're going here, and we got this. But these motherfuckers got like you're like we don't know what we're going to get into. Just pray that somebody breaks a ligament. Yeah, if you can break a ligament.
Well, you get like San Francisco, you get third and three.
You don't know where the ball's going.
Yeah, everything's still on the table.
Everybody can touch the fucking football.
You get certain teams that you get third down and, you know, three or four. All right. This is what they're going to do. Just like the tush push. You get third and one, fourth and one. What are they going to run? I don't
know. Grab his face mask. Yank that sumbitch backward.
I tell you. Well, it's just funny to add, but CMC, when he runs 75 yards, the 49ers are 10-1. So
give him the ball until he gets 75 yards.
Yeah, that's exactly. Bro, CMC doesn't matter who he has to hit. He's going to hit a Zamboni. I don't know where he's going to find a Zamboni on a football field, but he's going to hit that to make sure he hits everything. On the football.
He's a dude, man.
Mr. Mack, let me get to you. Who is the S factor for the Detroit Lions?
I think it's to go back to the running back tandem of Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery. I think they got to establish a run early and just play time, play field position. If they can't do that, they're in for a long. I just don't think Jared Goff against that defense. You know, he went neck and neck with Tampa. I know. You know, we were defending Tampa and their weapons. The Niners got way more weapons than Tampa does.
So way more.
If Detroit struggled with Tampa, and whether that was they didn't take them seriously, they didn't plan properly, whatever it was, or like the stats don't lie and their pass defense is really that bad, you know. Brock Purdy, if pending the weather and the conditions, you know, on paper, it's a really good matchup. I mean, third ranked offense versus the second ranked offense, the 19th ranked defense for Detroit versus the 8th ranked defense for the Niners, second ranked passing versus the 4th ranked passing. And then Detroit was 5th in the league in rushing and the Niners were 3rd. So, I mean, they're pretty even aside from the defense. The Niners clearly have the better defense. But as you've stated before, they are susceptible to giving up huge chunks on the ground. And we've seen that this season. We saw it last week. So I'm going to go with the running back tandem. They're going to have to give those guys at least each of them will probably have to get about 20 carries. But that's pending that the game stays close.
Yeah. Paul, to add to your point, too, Detroit's run defense is S on that, by the way. They held running backs to 3.5 yards per carry, which is 3rd. So. I mean, that's something that they can hold on is Chris McCaffrey, which is that's easier said than done trying to hold that guy because Chris McCaffrey is also a pass threat. So just pick your poison.
And that's Detroit needs to get Gibbs involved in their pass game early and often. I know he's good at running and everything, but when he gets involved into their pass game, whether it be the little screens or lining him up where outside and just getting him the ball in space, he goes nuts. And that's one of the things I would like to see more for Detroit during this game, trying to get him going early. Montgomery, he's what he is, but I just think getting Gibbs off to a little quick start, especially if you can get him that way in the passing game, it just gives the 49ers something else to look at. And you've got to give San Francisco a different look and get the ball to different people, because they're going to be able to do, with all the weapons that they have on defense as well, they're going to be able to take out some stuff. So you need to throw in a little wrinkle that you get going early that they have to think about the rest of the game.
Yeah, you got to get rid of them tendencies. You got to change them
exactly.
Up.
Yep.
Absolutely. All right, let's go with winners. Tom, who you think win this game?
49ers.
Brad, who you got winning this game?
I'm going to go Detroit.
Ooh. KC, who you got winning this game?
If you're going to San Francisco, look at San Francisco. They're already on the damn logo for the freaking Super Bowl. It's already there.
The script is already written.
Hey, yeah, the script was written. It was written.
San Fran and Baltimore, I said.
Yeah, that's the script, apparently. Paul, who you got?
Script.
I'll take the Niners in a close one. I think the Niners by six.
Yeah, I'm so excited to see Detroit made this run. I think a lot of us root for.
We know.
Excited to see we know. That.
We know you are.
But here it comes.
All year long, you've been excited for Detroit.
But unfortunately, they will lose in a close.
No, game. You're not allowed. Nope.
To the 49ers.
Nope, you're not allowed to pick against them. You're not allowed to pick against them. After all this Listen. Year we heard, after all this, be, nope, after all this year, all we I'll heard really about interested. Was Detroit.
I'm going to be interested to see how the Lions fans travel to this game. I'll be interested to see that's what I want to see. I want to see how well Detroit travels, because there's going to be a lot of blue in that crowd, I feel like. I mean, as much as there can be, obviously. I know it's Niners home game. There's going to be a lot of red and gold and whatnot, but there's going to be a fair amount of blue in there.
It's California, bro. Bloods and Crips going to be out there.
Oh, Lord. Don't wear that color blue. Holy shit.
Good stuff. All right, guys. Let's get on to the next game.
What, you going to my stadium, Hoss? You're not supposed to be here, Hoss. Oh, nope.
All right. The AFC matchup, the Kansas City Chiefs. It's traveling to the Baltimore Ravens.
God, Kansas Swifty Chiefs.
This is going to be a fun matchup here. I know there's been a lot of jokes about, man, don't let it be a Detroit and Baltimore Super Bowl, because it'd be the blackest thing you've ever seen. Hey, man, Brian, I'm going to go with you first. What is your storyline coming from this game?
Is Jason Kelce going to be at that game?
He was a star of the show of that game, wasn't he? More than Taylor Swift, huh? Hopping over to out the window and
listen. I am all for some Jason Kelce drunk as fuck at a football game.
That shit was fucking amazing.
If I want to know. Like, they should have had an alcohol little ticker on how many drinks did Jason Kelce have versus how many times they showed Taylor Swift.
That was six.
No,
so
no,
it's the same ticker. It's the same ticker we need for Brad drinking beers during this podcast.
That was seven. Listen, it's the same number of how many beats we've heard from that freaking thing.
Look at that. He got a count right there. Three.
I got a count.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, there you go. There you go. I tell you what, four. I wonder if – here's the thing. So he was able to do that in Buffalo. He's going to Baltimore. They call it Gunnamore for a reason. No, I'm not insinuating that. I'm just saying it's hood. It's hood out there.
No, I think this – I think this game is going to be a defensive battle. Whichever defense doesn't break, because they got both had pretty decent defenses. It's going to be, can they keep Lamar in check? And does the Kansas City defense do what they've been doing and holding star receivers to very limited yards?
Gotcha. Tom, what's your storyline for you out of this game between the Ravens and the Chiefs? What's one of your favorite storylines that you're digging into?
This is going to be a crazy game, man. Like, I don't even really have a storyline. I'm just excited to see these two boys and at this level playing like this, man. Like, I honestly want Lamar to win because I think he has to obviously prove himself.
I don't.
Speaking like a true AFC North rival right there.
I think he's got to prove himself, man, because, you know, Patty is already, he's already solidified. I'm not saying that. I'm talking about in the postseason. You know what I mean? This is the game right here that this man Lamar has to win, and they're doing it at home, so they got the fans behind them, and they already got an awesome quarterback. You know what I mean? Going up against another awesome goddamn Houdini of a person with, you know, not the best weapons right now, but he makes it happen. You know what I mean? So Baltimore has to be on a defense shit. Yeah. That's the storyline. We got to be on our defensive shit and stop everything. Everything moving, we stopping.
Absolutely. KC, what's the storyline for him coming from you out of this game, sir?
This completely reminds, and I know it's not a storyline or anything, but this completely reminds me of early Tom Brady Patriots, to where he done great when he had these weapons and stuff, and then you took Randy away and all this stuff, and he still played good, but they relied a lot on their defense. This year's Kansas City Chiefs team reminds me of those Patriots teams, to where Patrick Mahomes throughout the season looked normal because he didn't have those weapons that he was used to. He didn't have the guys. They wasn't holding on to the ball and everything, and they were doing it with their defense. Now the offense is turning up a little bit in the postseason, but they still got the defense and they still have the special teams that are making plays. Right now, they just remind me of that godforsaken, stupid ass New England Patriot dynasty bullshit. And it's like they are continuously riding the wave in which they are now the new New England Patriot thing. So that's what the, kind of the storyline with me is can Kansas City, or is Kansas City turning into the next New England dynasty? This game right here can submit it because they are doing something they've never had to do, and that's go on the road and make it to the Super Bowl playing the AFC Championship game in somebody else's house. If they can do that, that solidifies them as being the new dynasty in the NFL.
Got you. Mr. Mack, what's the storyline for you, sir, out of this game?
For me, it's honestly a matchup of, I mean, I got the stats right here. We got the number 9th ranked offense versus the number 6th ranked offense. So Baltimore has the better offense on paper. The Chiefs have the number 2 ranked defense, while the Ravens have the number 6th ranked defense. So there is an edge there in overall defense for Kansas City. The passing offense is 6th for Kansas City. Baltimore ranks 21 in passing offense, which we've known. Lamar Jackson hasn't really had to do a whole lot this season. They've won a lot of games by blowouts. He's just, you know, managing the game, not making turnovers, doing what he has to do. And then in rush offense, the Chiefs are 19th and the Ravens are number 1. So it's going to be interesting because Lamar is a guy where if they do get pressure on him and he does break the pocket, you're setting yourself up for some big problems. This is one of those games I think he's going to look to run. I know he's been trying to pass a little bit more this season, but much like he did against Houston early in that game, he was taking off. He was setting them up for success with his legs. And I think that's going to be the key for this one as well, is just he has to break contain. He has to just kind of break the defense down and let his receiver, let Zay Flowers and Odell Beckham and Isaiah Likely and those guys, you know, break down the defense. Let the play just break down and play backyard football, similar to how kind of Patrick Mahomes does it at times. You know, they do have the better offense. You know, between Gus Edwards and Lamar Jackson, the only thing you really have to worry about is just the Kansas City defense has been lights out. So I'd imagine Snead will cover Zay Flowers most of the game. So now's the time where you have someone like Odell Beckham Jr. You're going to see what you brought him in for now. This is what you brought Odell Beckham in for. These big games, you don't need him to get a couple catches. Let him get you know, two or three big catches, which is what he's been doing all season. If he finds the end zone, great. But, you know, Baltimore's offense is pretty dynamic, especially when Lamar's running. And that, I just think that can cause problems for the Chiefs. They haven't faced really a scrambling quarterback. I mean, C.J. Stroud can run, but he's never looking to run. He only had a couple. Yeah, but I mean, he's not as dynamic as Lamar Jackson is, though. I mean, he'll run if he has to.
75 yards rushing touchdown the week before that. Josh Allen did most of his damage with his legs.
But that's what I'm saying.
We don't talk about that game.
But that's what I'm saying is those guys had
success. It was a 52-yard run.
That white boy ran a long ass way.
Those guys had success with their legs. You know, Josh Allen ran for 77 yards last week. You know, C.J. Stroud ran for a little bit. So, you know, Kansas City is susceptible to the running quarterback, and Lamar Jackson is the epitome of the running quarterback. So that's going to be the whole thing, is the, you know, the unstoppable force versus the immovable object situation. So this is what we play for, is what we wait for. And I'm excited to see this one probably more than the other one, because I just want to see, you know, Lamar Jackson, you know, claim his MVP and do everything he has to do, and just, you know, potentially dethrone Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. So, you know, we'll see what happens.
Definitely. Yeah, I'm going to go to you on this one here, because you brought the offensive line earlier here. Chiefs offensive line, 28 sacks taken during the season as second best. They're going against the Ravens pass rush that got 60 sacks, which is first in the NFL. 114 quarterback hits, tied fourth for that. And it's led by, obviously, their new acquisition in Roquan Smith, and with Patrick Queen, who's already been there. So talk about that matchup, what you see between that offensive line versus this talented defensive front. As we saw, Pat Mahomes, the guy getting those sacks in. So talk to me about this.
Oh, Patrick does well to make his line look a little better that way, because he gets out of there. But they had a really good game last week. Their key is get Pacheco going like they did early in the game last week, kind of take some pressure off of that offensive line. They've been really susceptible to penalties too, which is the exact opposite of what they did last week, where their offensive line really wouldn't get hit for a lot of penalties. Because during the season, their offensive line was hit for 9,432 penalties, or the amounts of times we've heard that thing beep during this show. So, it's just their key, get the ball rolling early, trying to get running downhill, do some of those little short passing, get Kelsey involved early. Baltimore is aggressive on defense. You want to try to, you just want to try to run the ball. Keep their aggressiveness down a little bit. Make them have to respect the run, and try to take some pressure off of that offensive line, who during the season was very penalty prone. During this offseason or during this postseason so far, not really as much. But yeah, you just got to take some pressure off of them. But they played well these last couple of games, so yeah, they just got to continue to do it that well. But that's where the pressure is on for Kansas City, is definitely that offensive line.
Got you. Tom, this one for you. So I want to talk about, because I know you was very complimentary about Lamar Jackson and what he has done. But once again, this is the chief defense that allows 4.6 yards per carry, which is 28th in the league. But also, this is also the same Chiefs defense that's got 57 sacks, which is second in the NFL, right behind the Ravens. So what some things have you seen that Lamar Jackson's got to do against this defense? And the running game is susceptible to that, but if he's getting this situation where he got to pass the ball, Chiefs defense got 57 sacks on the season. They got some good pieces in George Kalafis and Chris Jones that's got 10 sacks each. So what's your thoughts about that matchup with Lamar Jackson against that defensive front? Tom, you on mute?
The first thing he has to do is talk to the offensive line, because that last game he played, 3 sacks allowed. You know what I mean? Like, that's crazy. Even though they won by a pretty good margin, they got to protect him. You know what I mean? Because, like we said before, his first instinct is to run. And if they're going to make him run all night, he's definitely going to get hurt. Well, something's definitely going to happen in that situation. So I think he's definitely got to talk to the offensive line, man. They got to hold their guns and be able to give that man some time to throw that ball, because you don't want him running the whole time. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, if he sees that open pocket and he has to roll out, do what God gave you. You know what I mean? But they got to give him some time to throw the ball and make smart decisions, man.
Gotcha. Bro, I'm going to go to you. The Ravens, in their last 6 or 7 games, and even in this playoff game, 31 points at home in the last 6 or 7 games. Now, this Kansas City Chiefs is different. So what's your expectation with their offense? Do you see 31 points or no against this Kansas City defense?
I can see close to it. I think it's going to be around probably 30 points for both teams. It's going to be a fairly decent scoring game. Both offenses know how to score. Both offenses are going to find a way to score.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to come down to whoever has the ball last. Hey, this is what I love about this time of year. It's who's going to have the last possession, because that's more than likely who's got the best shot at winning. Buffalo had a shot to tie, but 30-mile-an-hour crosswinds, ain't nobody going to make that shit.
Oh, no. Buckner made a couple going that way. I'm just saying.
Kicking game is kind of crazy, too, because Carson missed an important one, too. So, last round, you saw these kicks.
What was that last kick? Wasn't it like 50 yards close to it?
For Tyler Bass? It was Tyler Bass kick?
Yeah, it's like 49, something like that.
It was like 43. Yeah, something like that. But Buckner, we can say to Crossman all we want to, Buckner made 2 of them going that direction.
Yeah, it's all about
dead down the middle, and they were from 40-something yards, too.
Yeah.
He just kicked the fuck out of it like a goddamn golf shot. But the key with Baltimore is with Chris Jones in Kansas City, they get pressure right up the middle, especially with Chris Jones. So what they like to do is collapse the pocket. Your key is going to be having to contain the outside and not letting Mar go nuts and collapse that pocket quick, so you can take it away from him as fast as humanly possible.
Yeah,
even last game, the 3 sacks, they came because they went straight in the middle. So blitzing, going straight up the middle is what gets Lamar. If you can get to him quick enough and you can get him that, you ain't got to worry about him breaking containment and getting to the outside. That's going to be their key, is making sure Chris Jones and whoever else they got coming goes. And we know Kansas City's defense has been aggressive this year. So they have to stay on it, but don't get too aggressive to where you lose containment on the outside, because that motherfucker just run forever.
I think a lot of it, if they would go back and watch how Pittsburgh deals with Lamar, it's very much outside containment and lane dedication. You don't – like, this is where you go. You don't veer. You don't move. You go directly here.
But the bad part about that for Kansas City is they run two completely different types of defenses that Pittsburgh's does. Pittsburgh runs that 3-4. They have all their linebackers out there, and two of their linebackers are fast as shit. And then you've got this guy named Watt that's coming off of the corner with Kansas City.
They do a lot on the other side.
Exact with Kansas City, they do all their damage coming from the middle, and then they bring a blitz from the outside or whatever. They just have to be mindful not to bring that blitz from the corner and let him get around it. Because if he gets around it and he sees it coming, he's gone. He's going to run.
Oh, yeah.
Their biggest thing is not let that tackle and guard force their ends out any farther and give Lamar a lane, especially if they're getting push up the middle. That's going to be their key thing, is getting that push up the middle as soon as they can to make Lamar have to commit to something.
Absolutely. You got to keep him between the hash marks. If you let him get outside, you got to pin him.
Yeah, you got to pin him. You can't let him post up.
That man need to talk to his offensive line, man. They got to. Yeah, give him some time to approach them boys outside.
Pinch him to the middle. You always got help in the middle. If you let him get to the outside, he's gone.
But his offensive line has been superb all year long. They've been great. They've been great all year long. Mind you, they haven't pushed up against. Because they're that Harbaugh style of play now. They're continuously run the ball. The only difference is this year, Lamar's got a few weapons that he can work with, but mainly their philosophy is the AFC North philosophy, and that's let's be more physical than the fucking guys in front of us.
Oh, yeah.
Gotcha. Mr. Mack, who is your S factor for the Baltimore Ravens?
For the Ravens, honestly, I'm gonna go on the defensive side. I'm gonna stick with Roquan Smith and Patrick Queen. I think those two guys have to control the middle of the field. They're gonna have to contain Travis Kelce. The Ravens are 12th, ranked 12th in the league against the tight end. They average about 47, 48 yards a game to tight ends. But they haven't played Travis Kelce. So, with the way that their offense is, I imagine they're going to be looking at Travis Kelce a lot. Because Baltimore, middle of the pack run defense too. I mean, Pacheco could have a decent game. They're the 14th ranked rush defense. They give up 109 yards a game on the ground. So there's a lot of holes, up there. So those two guys are going to have to really make some plays. I think they have to make some open field tackles and have to play the line of scrimmage. So those two are going to be the big chess pieces for me, is how they're able to dictate the game over the middle, because they can't let Travis Kelce get going and they can't let Pacheco get going, and they're the second level. So those guys are going to have to make tackles and do what they have to do. So for me, it's the middle linebackers for Baltimore. These two defenses are, pretty close. I mean, they're first in the league in sacks. They get 3.5 sacks a game. Fourth in quarterback hits. They hit the quarterback 6.9 times per game. But the crazy thing is they're 30th in quarterback hurries. So they don't rush. They don't get the quarterback. They either sack you or you have all the time in the world to throw, which is crazy to me. I don't know how you can have the most sacks but then be dead last and hurry in the quarterback. And Patrick Mahomes, we know how Patrick Mahomes is. If he can break the pocket too, he weird things happen when Patrick Mahomes gets outside the pocket. So that could be bad. But
he's a magician, bro.
Yeah, man. So Kansas City ranks pretty well in their quarterback getting hit and their quarterback, being hurried. So we'll see what happens. But the problem with the Kansas City offense is they lead the league in tackles for loss. So they average, 3.6 tackles for loss per game against the Chiefs. So that means their screen game, those kind of plays, you're gonna have to get sniffed out, and you have to kind of keep those plays going, and just not let Kelce and them get behind you. So for me, it's Patrick Queen and Roquan Smith, and they're gonna have to just patrol. They're on a different kind of duty this week. I think they have to really just hunker down and watch Patrick Mahomes and not let any of that weird playoff Patrick Mahomes magic,
take scrambles effect that we use out of pocket.
Yeah, weird sidearm falling down, all that.
So backwards.
So stick to your bread and butter. You know, they give up 191 passing yards a game at sixth in the league, and the Chiefs have the sixth best passing offense at 246 yards per game. So a lot of these stats line up pretty well for it to be kind of a pretty even matchup on both sides. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it could come down to a big play. You know, Baltimore defense first in the league in turnovers. They average about almost two turnovers a game. But Patrick Mahomes isn't a guy that's going to make turnovers. He turned it over a lot more this year than he has in previous years, though. So he is susceptible to throwing interceptions, which you got to look out for. So that could be the kicker there is, you know, one bad throw. See what happens. But, yeah, man, the Baltimore defense, I don't think there's any questions about Lamar Jackson in the offense. I think it's really going to fall upon the defense to just contain Kansas City, because if they can do what they normally do, contain the offense the first three or four drives, let Baltimore get some points on the board, get the momentum going, get the lead. We've seen how Baltimore is with a lead. So I think the defense's whole objective is just to get the lead, and then after that, it's lights out.
Gotcha. Tom, before I go into getting over to Brad and Kev, explain how important this is for Lamar Jackson to get this one. Like, how important is it for him to get this one, Tom?
Yeah, because I think everybody knows how good that man is. And he's just not accustomed to being in that postseason and getting, you know, getting his just due. You know what I mean? Every year, year in, year out, he's just an amazing talent. And he just needs to get to that next level. Not for the haters, I think for himself. You know what I mean? And also, like Kevin said, it's almost a dynasty over there. It needs to be somebody to take these people down. Not to say I hate Kansas City, but I think Lamar just needs to get his just due, man, and you know, show people that he's just not the runner, that he can do it all. You know what I mean? And I think, again, that'll solidify him if he wins this game.
Gotcha. Brad, who's your S?
And if he wins the Super Bowl, too. I'm about to say, if he goes to the Super Bowl, but obviously,
yeah.
He has to get there.
Yeah, he's got to go through Goliath, which is Pat Mahomes right now and the Chiefs. So, yeah. Brad, who is your S factor for the Kansas City Chiefs?
Damn, honestly, I get all the hard questions. I think it's going to be the linebackers. If they can make sure it goes with both teams. It almost seems like as soon as they drop back, they're literally watching the linebackers. As soon as the linebackers turn to run with somebody, they know they've got at least 4 to 5 yards that they can get, maybe more. So it's going to be in Legarius Sneed. Is he going to be able to shut down whoever they put him on? But at the same time,
I'm going to be like a magic eight ball on that one. Yeah, all signs point to yes.
But it's kind of going to be like the 49ers. You know, the Ravens have a lot of weapons. It's who are they going to unlock for this game? Is it going to be OBJ? Is it going to be Isaiah Likely, Gus Edwards? Is Lamar going to fucking run Wyatt? Or run
Mark
Ryan?
Andrews coming back?
Andrews,
he is coming back
he
today.
He could be coming back.
They just said it. Now that I was just reading the report. They said he is coming back.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
coming back?
Yeah.
So there you can run double tight end sets, and Likely's a fucking threat. Now you got Andrews. You got Zay Flowers. You got OBJ, Gus. It could be an air raid offense kind of day.
All right, good call, Kev. I was gonna go to you on this question here. Talk to me about, because there's been a big deal about the Chiefs receivers with the most drops in the NFL. It came up big last week, but they really need to do against this defense here. So, what are you seeing against the receiver? We know what Kelsey's gonna do. What are these receivers like Van Ness Scout and Rasheed Rice, all of them, what are they going to do to help Pat Mahomes try to secure another play, Super Bowl berth
Well, Rice has been the most consistent receiver that he's had almost this whole entire year. Besides, obviously, throwing it to Travis, Rice has been that guy. Oh, here's the thing with Kansas City. You need one or two guys just to have that decent game, but you need that one guy to show up and make that stupid-ass catch when it needs to come down to it. Like, who caught that fucking crazy-ass shit? Was it Scantley? Yeah, Marcus Valdes-Scantley. Yeah. Caught that crazy-ass fucking catch out of fucking nowhere. His only catch of the fucking day. Like, that's all you need for this team to do something. All they need is that one little spark, that one catch, that one moment from one guy. It's just like when they need somebody grabs it. But you got the consistency from Rice, and you got the consistency from Travis Kelce. They threw the ball a couple of times to the running backs this time. Clyde Edwards-Helaire came in and he did some something. It's just they get that moment per se from one guy once or twice a game. And that's really all they need. They don't, when you have that number 15 back there throwing magical darts to people, it's crazy how much we always talk about, does your guy make the other people better? He literally makes everyone better. We talked about the stats earlier for this offense. What we seemed to look at as the outside as a bad offensive year, what they rank eighth? Like, it's insane that they still ranked eighth, and we thought they played bad just because of whatever we've seen before. But really, everything for Kansas City dials up to what kind of game is Andy Reid going to call? What is he going to rely on the most? And where is he going to look to get the ball to the most? Andy Reid is the biggest X factor in all of this thing because that man controls number 15. He gives number 15 the leeway to go out and gives him that whole playbook that he can throw out there at any single time. So it just comes down to whenever that man can make the right call at the right time to get his team in a position and then them guys going out and execute it. But like I said, you've got them two consistent, three consistent guys they're going to get the ball to. They just have to have that one guy make that one play at that one crucial time, like they seem to do all the time throughout this run.
Absolutely. All right, let's go around the panel, and we're going to ask who is going to be the winner of this game. And I'm going to start off with Mr. Mack. Who is going to be the winner out of the Kansas City Chiefs and the Baltimore Ravens? Who you got, sir?
I'm going to say Baltimore, that they're going to tame the beast. I think this is the year for Lamar Jackson. You know, he got his contract. Everything's kind of worked out for him in his favor. I think Baltimore is the better, well-rounded team. Kansas City's defense is scary, but I think Lamar has a huge game on the ground and then does what he has to do in the air. And I think Baltimore wins this one. I'm going to take Baltimore by 10.
Gotcha. Mr. Childs, so you got winning this game, sir.
Man, for a while, man, I was thinking that Kansas City is going to be the team that probably still is going to win. But I'm going to go with big money Paul Mack, that nice-ass house back there. You know what I mean? I'm going to go with Baltimore.
Like my piano?
Go play some.
Mr. Brad.
Paul with the pull-down screen behind him.
And NFC North rival, can you put your rivalry aside? What's your answer, sir?
Bane. I'm going with Bane. He's the dark knight rises, strikes again. No. As much as I hate Kansas City, and as much as I hate Baltimore, I must still go with Kansas City. Because I don't ever want to see Baltimore win another Super Bowl. Just like Thomas never wants to see the Dallas Cowboys even play in a Super Bowl.
You're fucking right.
That's the reason Kansas City too.
Tom never got to worry about that one, so that's a safe bet.
Dak's going to take care of that for me.
Oh, man. KC, are you choosing KC? KC.
What did I say earlier in the show? To be the man, you've got to beat
the man.
You've got to beat the man. And I don't know. We've been everybody's been down on them so long, but they're right back in the same spot they're always in. I am going to go with my initial namesake, and I am going to go with the Kansas City Chiefs.
It's a hard one to pick, man. Hard one to
pick. No, it ain't. Nah.
It is, man.
All right. So I began this podcast. I got to go back in the archives, but I did pick the Baltimore Ravens to come out the AFC. I know that division was tough, but I feel like Lamar Jackson time was now. And amidst he is playing Kansas City, and God, I hate the Chiefs. Like, I just want to burn. We know. But breaking them down aside, Pat Mahomes has done a fantastic job getting them back here. They went on the road and just owned the Bills again, that they always do. They just had this mental edge thing against the Bills. But I really feel like Lamar Jackson gonna put it all together. He's got probably the most talented team that he has around him. Hearing that Mark Andrews is coming back, and I think it's gonna be a dogfight. I think it's gonna be an ugly, scrappy game. I think that the Baltimore Ravens is gonna win this with the most clutch kicker that they have in the NFL.
I'm shocked.
They're gonna win by three.
So. I'm shocked you picked Baltimore. I'm shocked.
So it will be a fantastic game. I'm looking forward to it. Definitely I will be keeping tabs on this while I'm watching my Magic play the Suns that day.
What's the forecast looking like for this one too? What's the weather looking like?
Let's take a look. I can pull up Google and see what it looks like.
Google the Baltimore.
Man, Baltimore weather.
I was looking at the parlays today, man.
Worry.
Yeah, man. Boy, some money out there.
All right, so Baltimore versus looking like a city weather.
Is it on Sunday? They said there's a 70% chance of rain.
Ew.
Ooh.
Low of 38, high of 44.
Really? Yeah. Not that bad.
That's favorite a 6 o'clock game?
3 p.m. 6 o'clock
game.
It's the three game. AFC 3. Yep.
So that's possible rain, huh?
Looking at possible rain, and it's gonna be about low 40s.
At least it's gonna be freezing though.
I had a question about last week's schedule. Who thought, hey, Buffalo and Kansas City are playing it light? Let's put them in sub-degree temperatures at night instead of letting them have some sun. But let's put the goddamn people that are in the dome, let's put them in the middle of the fucking day.
You're not wrong, Kev. I thought that was pretty dumb, too. I don't know why they didn't.
Dumbass was like, let's freeze them motherfuckers.
Listen, it makes them snowballs they chucking at the players trying to make a catch a little bit harder.
First off, them people are retarded.
Hey,
them people are special that live up there. Like, you've got to be special, one, to jump through tables that are on fire.
And brain freeze.
And two, to live up there where like nobody else wants to live.
What's the chance that Baltimore is throwing something else besides snowballs?
Baltimore be throwing like 9mm bullets,
shells,
a grenade.
It's gonna be an episode of Wire, man.
Somebody's gonna be out there with a rocket propelled grenade firing them off in the crap. Oh, Lord.
Hey, that's who should come out and open up the game. Is what's homeboy that he died though? Omar? Oh, man, yeah.
Michael K. Williams. Oh, you're talking about Omar.
Did he die, right?
Yeah, he passed, man.
So if they would have had him come out, Debo him like that, that would have been crazy.
Oh, hey, rest in peace, man. Nah, that would have been great. All right, guys. Well, anything else we got to add before we wrap this bad boy up? We're at an hour and 30.
How about How about Jim Harbaugh, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Yes!
I think we all saw that one. I think we all saw that coming, right? We called that like week 8.
So he can avoid allegations in NCAA. Oh, I said that out loud. I'm sorry.
Here's the thing we're going to see a lot of. When a college coach gets a call from a pro team and they're really interested in hiring, he's going to leave because most of the college coaches now are just tired of dealing with the college shit. Because college has become one, college football is not the same as it was. Now it's completely different. They're ruining the freaking the way they're doing things in college football. And you're going to lose them. It's not just that. It's you made this NIL deal thing, Emabob, and you didn't put no restrictions or no rules on how it should be run. They were like, we're giving you an NIL deal. Okay, how do we do this shit? I don't know. Like, they're like, we're giving it to you, but we don't know how the fuck we're going to make it work. Because the NIL deal was supposed to do this. You go to school. While you're in school, you go and you get your deals. You go and you make your shirt line. You go to your local car dealership or whoever approaches you, and you get your own deals for your name, image, and likeness. Now what it is every school that has a booster is going, well, see that guy that sits in the fourth row? He's going to give you $400,000 to come and talk about his pancakes at his local whatever, and he's going to give you money for it. All you got to do is say you're going to go to school here. So it's become a clusterfuck.
Sign me up.
No, but I'm not going to sell
Jim Bob's pancakes.
But that's not the way. But the bad part is that's not the way that it should have been done. But now all of these coaches are like, I don't want to deal with this shit anymore. I'm getting the hell out of here. That's why Nick Saban retired. That's why Dabo Sweeney is getting close to telling them, okay, y'all can all fuck off. I'm getting tired of this shit. Jim Harbaugh, that's the reason why he was cheating and everything like that, is because he's like, okay, this gives me an out. So he got an out to go and take off and go wherever. It's such a clusterfuck in college football that coaches are going to be leaving like that, like crazy. I don't blame Jim for getting out now. Why the getting back out was good and getting into a team that has stuff that's built on his strengths. And his strength was developing quarterbacks, helping the quarterback get there. And hopefully it's to make all of his wide receivers stay healthy through the year because that's their biggest problem.
So good for Jim. Have a good starting point.
You know what I want to see?
Yeah.
I want to see BK British Knights or LA Gear sponsor Pacheco. I want to see him running down the field with his little light-up shoes.
They said Isaiah Pacheco in the offseason – you can find him in the center of the sun running on a treadmill because that's how angry he runs.
It's a big boy running, man.
Speaking about coaches, Cortez, I can't believe I'm sitting here and Greg Popovich is 8-30 or something like that, bro.
It's because they fucking suck.
Yeah, but I would have never thought, man.
He got the number one pick. It's a rebuild.
When you have no talent except a 7-foot spaghetti string, you're going to suck.
You can't coach talent.
You can coach talent, but you can't coach talent.
Yeah, you're gonna get that win. Are they playing number two LKC? Y'all gonna get that one, man.
Hey, listen. I'm gonna say this, and then we'll close it. But at the end of the day, he signed that contract because of that prospect, right? Popovich was on his way out the door. He was gonna retire. Soon as he got a number one draft pick.
Sign me up.
Should have went around to Detroit. It should have went to Detroit, man. Like that franchise is so bad. But Wembanyama, Greg Popovich, NBA conspires. Like, hey, let's go ahead and get this guy to Greg Popovich and see what happens. So, but we'll see, man. But nah, hey, listen, they need a point guard. At the end of the day, the Spurs need a point guard that can get him the ball because Trey Jones ain't it. They try to have all these guys playing. So they're trying to suck. That's what it is, and it's unfortunate that we got to see him on national TV all the time. So
all the time.
This tall dude,
all the time.
So everybody likes seeing a tall guy on TV dunk basketball. So hey, there you go.
Nah, I'm fine with not.
Hey, that's a little borderline what you just said there. We'll talk offline about that.
Okay, we'll talk offline. My bad. You know, don't sue me, guys. Don't sue me. I don't.
Nah, well. I'm fine with it.
All right, guys. Stay tuned next week. I'm probably going to have Paul lead the show because I'm going to be out of town. So Paul be leading the show. Maybe I'll get you guys.
Oh, Lord. Cortez is going out of town. Let me guess. He's going somewhere to watch a Magic game.
The Spurs, actually. I'm watching
the Magic. That's what I was talking about.
Oh, my God. You're going to go watch Spaghetti Legs playing a fucking
game.
Girls in San Antonio.
So Kev, I need to pick your brain about San Antonio because you've been there before. So I need to pick your brain.
Just go to the Riverwalk and hang out. There you go. That's all you need to know.
They got churros.
They got all kinds of shit. They got all kinds of shit in that place.
Them big old women
and you could drink over there too.
I
heard they got big old women in San Antonio.
Big old women, baby.
That's what Chuck said, right?
Hey,
remember the Alamo.
You get canceled, Cortez.
Well, yeah,
Tito's gonna get me in trouble that time. Tito's gonna get me in trouble.
Exactly. And there's probably a guy named Tito that will give you in trouble down there too. So
Cortez is about to mess around against the Mexicans that live in Texas.
Yeah,
San Antonio is a cool town. You go to the Riverwalk, that's really their big thing to do there. Go to the Alamo. It's really cool in that area. Like that's and it's all walking. You can take a boat down the street. It's a cool little area.
Bet. Super excited, man.
So, and it's a game your Magic should definitely win.
Exactly. Unless you fucking suck.
So, all right, guys. Well, Paul be hosting.
Unless they suck. Sign that guy. I saw they were signing on Twitter. And y'all are screwed then.
That's right, man. Sharpshooter Cortez Paul, baby.
There's two words that should not go in front of Cortez Paul. Sharp and shooter.
My man's pretty sharp.
Hold on. I've watched Cortez shoot.
I've seen him shoot. He didn't spill a drop.
No. I will give Cortez the ball with his back to the basket after a white guy pissed him off. That's when I give Cortez the basketball.
Cortez plays dad basketball.
I haven't played basketball in
shoots
a while, between man,
shoots so. Under his legs.
Anywho, I'm gonna let Paul lead the show and I'm gonna try to get some of you guys back on and y'all just recap because there's always a week in between. I'm pretty sure y'all don't want to talk about Pro Bowl, but have at it. But we'll get back at it. And so just make sure you stay tuned for Paul and the gang here. Always good to have you guys on. Great banter between everybody.
All in the gang. What?
Paul's going to lead the show. So make sure you follow the podcast at BLC Podcast on X and Twitter. What are we calling it nowadays? You can find me at Endermind CP, Mr. Mac.
Hit me on X at @_Paul_Mac and on Instagram at @ThePaulMac520.
Gotcha. Mr. Carter.
You can find me at Someone Take the Batteries Out of That Fire Alarm on X. You can find me Kevin C 2415 on whatever X or Twitter or that thing.
Got you. Mr. Tom, I know you don't have a Twitter, but you got something else. So tell me what you got.
I actually do have a Twitter. I have a Twitter. I'm Tom Childs 1984 on Twitter as well. I think it's Tom Childs. You'll find me if you look for me. I'm pretty damn sure.
What's the other thing that you have, though?
I'm just about to tell you, I'm doing a flash sale right now, $15
for
my OnlyFans page. I got a lot of feet content up there this week. We going back to the other stuff. I was going to fly down to San Antonio with Cortez. Yeah, but catch me over there at Double D Dangler 77 at OnlyFans. It's gonna be nice. It's gonna be a good time.
And in the background, of all the videos, all you hear is me.
That's how you know they're authentic.
So, exactly. That's go. How you know it's me.
Double D Dangler. Are you talking about your tits or your penis?
Do y'all like it?
You'll find out when you buy on the site.
Do you guys like it when I do beep?
Mr. Brad.
He gets censored by
you
the
people. You can find me at the 19th hole.
Oh, hey, they ain't paying for this podcast now. Come on now.
Whoa, man. He works.
Are you going with Dwight Howard?
But no, well, here's the funny thing. Brad and Kevin are trivia hosts, so there you go. Both of them are
goddamn
hosts,
right.
Yeah. Hey, and guess who won trivia this past Tuesday?
Oh, Tom won! Heck yeah. Awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, look at all right. Well, hey, guys, make sure y'all
they must in. Ask. They must ask some easy ass questions.
Shit. That's Brad, man. Brad and Steve, they put together a pretty good
it was rough.
Spread.
It was rough for them guys.
Yeah, this one's hard. Pause.
Yeah. No hard pause. Hard pause. All right.
Beep. So make sure you get the podcast at Ball Not Court. We're at Spotify. You can find us at anchor.fm/Cortez-Ball. Facebook, we're at Balls Not Court Podcast. Also, follow us, get us on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, iHeart, Spreaker, Windows, Anchor, Spotify, or what Kevin like to say since he's here.
Wherever you listened to us before, listen to us there again.
Absolutely. So, speaking for Mr. Paul Mack, Mr. Tom Childs, Mr. Brad Renner, and Mr. Kevin Carter.
And the fire alarm beep.
Yeah, don't forget Tom's fire alarm.
Yeah, don't there forget the fire alarm beep.
And Tom's fire alarm. This is Cortez Paul Ball on the Court Podcast. Enjoy the championship weekend, guys. Take care, guys.
Beep.